verse 22, that's what we're going to pick up at tonight, verse 22. It says, "And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." It says, "When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then you shall begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, he says, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." As we look over the scripture tonight, I want to preach to you on following the Father. Following the Father. That's what God has us here to do. I notice when we look at this passage of scripture here, if you got a study Bible, he talks about having teachings on the way to Jerusalem. And boy, is he going to lay some things down for him here in a minute. But as we see the features of following the Father, I want you to hold your place here and look over at John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. If you look at John chapter 5, in verse number 17, the Bible says there, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Wherever Jesus sees the Father works, there's where he goes. We're following Jesus, and we're following the Father. We want to follow the Father because we want to stay in the perfect will of God for our lives. I've heard people say, nobody can be in the perfect will of God. I beg to differ. If you're behind Christ, you're in the perfect will of God. Amen. Every time, every way, and in every place, if you're following Jesus, you're in the perfect will of God. If you're leading Jesus, you are not in the perfect will of God, and you'll look behind you to find out you're alone. He don't follow us. He chases us down as the good shepherd, but he does not follow us and let us lead him. And I've noticed as we've been going through this chapter, and we see the features that are laid out here in this passage of scripture, I see number one feature about following the Father is the path of Jesus in verse 22. Notice what he says. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying, watch this, toward Jerusalem. He's already got in mind what's supposed to be happening at Jerusalem. He's set and fixed to go through that thing. And there's a thing about this verse I noticed, that his path always involves direction. He said he's going through the cities and villages. He's going by there. He's going to stop and preach there. He's got some things in mind. He's got some teachings he's got to teach there. But he's not there to stay. He's going through that place. If you'll ever figure out in life that you're not here to stay, you're just passing through. Your life is but a vapor, and your happy place is not here, you'll be better off in the long run. There's a lot of people that went on before us that we know that was born again people that loved God, lived their life for the Lord. We're looking forward to seeing them again, but that's not why we're headed that way. We're headed that way because we're all headed through this life. Everybody is. Amen. Nobody gets out alive.
Right.
And the craziest thing about not getting out alive is that's not the worst thing to happen.
That's right. Come on.
When I was 20, a long time ago, I didn't have to go to the doctor unless I hurt something, broke something, or blood went everywhere. When I was 25, they said, you need to find you a primary care physician. I said, what's wrong with the doctor I grew up with? They said, you need to have a primary physician, a primary care team, and all this other stuff. And we had insurance at the time, and they said, well, the way the new rules are on insurance, you can't go to your doctor anymore. I said, you said to get one. I want to get mine. I can't have mine. And I was stunned. I said, surely there's a reason why they're doing this. It's communism. How's it communism? If you can't go to the doctor you want to go to, and the insurance won't pay for that one, I bet they've all got together and divided them out equally so they can all get paid the same. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Therefore, they don't compete with each other. They don't make it better over here to be better over here to try to draw your business over there, and you get the same sorry stuff everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bill Clinton.
Come on.
Next time I hear a Democrat say something good about them, I say, watch what you're saying. They may take it the wrong way, and you might be next.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about that guy from Boeing getting killed down in Charleston. He just had dinner with Hillary Clinton. I ain't saying nothing, but that's awful odd, ain't it?
Well,
That's a joke. But I notice people hang around them people. If they cross them one time, I see it.
Yep.
Mr. Epstein and all that crap, boy, disappeared. The tapes got gone. That's a Clinton special right there. But I see that the path always involves direction. Jesus didn't come there to stay. He came there to go through there because he's headed somewhere else. His path always involves doctrine as well, because doctrine literally means teaching. And what was he doing while he was there? He wasn't giving away the Bible for the woman to most visitors. He wasn't having family, friends, God, and country day. He was teaching. And I believe we'd be better as a church if we'd get back to teaching people the Bible instead of figuring out how to get a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to have people to preach to. You're here. Somebody inside you that's not you, you like to think it's you, but it's not you, it's him. He wanted to come.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you got here.
Yeah.
I don't care what story you got, but that's how you got here. And listen, when I got saved, there was something about going to church I just couldn't get around.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know I'd try to lay out every once in a while? I'd have aches, pains, all this. I tried a couple weeks ago too. But anyway, the way it always works out is I'd sit there and think about it all I want to, but somebody inside me saying, you got to get ready. It's time.
Amen.
And that ain't a voice from the outside. That's right straight from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It involves doctrine where he goes, and his path includes doctrine. And where he's at, there's going to be doctrine taught. The Bible's going to be preached. The Bible's going to be taught. The songs are going to be about him. That's his path. When you follow in the Father, it's going to be about Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, he's got to be lifted up. But that thing about going toward Jerusalem, that also tells me his path involves a destination. I told you at the beginning of this thing about how we're headed somewhere. And I look at that verse and I can't help but think this. We always got to have a goal at the end of what we're doing or we're not doing nothing. Do you know I had good meaning preachers tell me they want to have revival? Pray for revival. We need revival. America needs revival. Do you know what the end goal of that thing is so you can get it? Because if you do, you find the end goal and you work your way back to where you're at and you start on the path. How many of you have got a GPS you've used in the last 365 days on your phone or vehicle or something like that? What do you put in first? The destination. You know what that thing does? It takes that destination and finds it, and it knows where you at, and it tracks this way to get you there, the safest and quickest way to get you there.
Yep.
You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to be pointed towards heavenly Jerusalem up there, and he wants you to take that path of Jesus, and that's a crucified path, by the way, and you go that way, and you head towards him. You got the Holy Spirit of God empowering you to do the work that you got to do while you're here. You look for the Father to work, and there you work. And you're going towards a goal, and the goal is to please him there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to please me. I'm fickle. I used to be for hair till I lost mine. Now I don't like it neither. Okay? I used to make fun of people who wore glasses and call them four eyes. You'll never guess what happened.
Uh-oh.
I used to hear people say, well, you know, we need to do such and such and help out with this. And I was like, tell them to get a job. Now I'm like, let's help them. Are you with me? You understand? You change. But when you got a goal in mind, you keep the goal in mind and you head towards the goal and you're always headed towards that goal, that same goal. When I got saved, I didn't get saved just to not go to hell. I got saved because I knew He loved me. And when I got saved, I wanted to do anything He wanted me to do. I wanted to go anywhere He wanted to send me. I wanted to preach anything He wanted to, had to say. And that, and listen, that's so when I get to heaven, I won't be the only one there because of me. There'll be others there that I could have told that got there. And the only way to make that happen is to keep the goal in mind. If we were to be the type of people that says, well, we want to have the largest church in Cherokee County. Oh, my God. We'd have to have a clown show, a minstrel show, some of them sorry gospel quartets in here that wear half their clothing and all that other stuff.
Yep.
It looked like a circus. It looked like something going on in the Bilo Center called the Backslid Boys or whatever they are. I mean, we'd have all that stuff going on. We'd have to go out and get a boat and swing it to sea.
Yep.
And half you wrinkled up women would be out there tanning in the sea and half your clothes on. And if somebody preached against the next week church, you'd say, oh, you got an eye problem. After seeing all that, I bet we do got eye problems. Say amen right there. And you men keep them pants on. Listen, that sack of doorknobs you carrying under there, we don't need to see that neither. And I'm just talking about your legs. Amen. Listen, we got to get back to the point where we say we're on a path. We're following the Father. We're headed on Jesus' path. Second feature of this following the Father is verse 23 down to verse 28, and that's the plan of Jesus. You know He's got a plan. His plan ain't never changed. He's out to have Him a bride that He's going to present chaste before Himself, according to Ephesians 5, verse 26-27. The only way He's going to be able to accomplish that is to do it by cleansing of the washing of the water by the Word. And His invitation starts off in verse 23 and says, then said one unto Him, Lord, are there few that be saved? That's a good question. And He said to them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many shall say unto you, you will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Did He just say strive? I see that thing as a striving truth, and I'll prove it to you. Did you get saved right after you was born? How many times did you have to hear the gospel before you got saved? How many times did you have to go to church and be forced to go to church to go to a place you didn't want to go to? And looking back on it, it was God using that to get the seed of the Word of God planted in your life. There was a war going on, by the way. Oh, you mean it's me and the devil? No, it's you and God. You were fighting Him. You thought you was fighting the devil. It wasn't the devil. You got saved and realized that was God I was fighting the whole time. Now that you're on another team, now you're fighting the devil. Before then, He's just whispering to you saying, you don't have to go to church. You can be saved right here where you're at. You don't have to go to church to worship the Lord. You can worship Him right here on the fishing boat, the tree stand, the NASCAR, wherever you're sitting at. What He said to you, wasn't it? But you know what he did? He lied to you. You worship God in none of them places or this one either. You worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what the Bible says. That's where the big catch is. And the part of that truth is a striving truth because of His invitation. He called and you had to get there. And I promise you, when you headed towards His way to get saved, I promise you had to fight the devil then.
Yep.
But you know what God did? He saw the thoughts and intents of your heart and He backed him off with something called the sword of the Spirit coming out of his mouth. He backed him off and said, nope, that one's mine. Go away. And you got to where you was going to be at, where you could hear the gospel and Jesus could be lifted up and the plan could be handled to you. And by invitation only, you got saved. Oh, you mean the church invitation? No, the master's invitation. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. His invitation. Come to me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. His invitation. If I be lifted up again, I will draw all unto him. His invitation was for you to come, and it was a striving truth. But can I tell you right there in that verse also, does it say it's come to the straight gate? Let me give you something that'll help you out for the rest of your life. God ain't fooled by the 21st century crowd. And secondly, God is not a woke liberal. If he says gay clothing in James chapter 2, I bet he's talking about that crowd saying, all right, all you transvestites, come in here. Y'all just come into the church and you read to my Sunday school class. He said, you say to them of the gay clothing. But I notice he also said, enter ye at the what gate? It's a straight truth. And I'll prove it to you. I don't care if you say you was born that way 10 times over. You must be born again. You can't go in sideways. You got to come in straight. What does that involve? The blood of Jesus Christ covering your sins and the Spirit of God birthing you into the family of God. And listen, this is the plan of Jesus. There ain't 10 different kinds of Christians. They just one. That's the born again kind. The rest of them's all fake. And he says in there is a straight truth, and it's a sad truth as well. He said, because there's some that shall not be able in that verse. You know why they shall not be able? They like Frank Sinatra. They did it their way. And because they tried to do it their way, God said, I don't like your way. I like mine still. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to stick by my son Jesus because he is the way, the truth. That's a striving truth, a straight truth, but a sad truth. You turn him down, there is no other way. He's the way. And I see his not only his invitation in his plan, but his identification in verse 25. He says this. He says, he shows out who they called. He says, verse 25, when once the master of the house has risen up and is shut to the door, you begin to stand without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall not answer and say unto you, here it is. I know you not. I know you not. Who they called on the Lord right there. But the problem is, it's too late.
Yeah.
Do you know everybody in hell knows the plan of salvation is calling on the right God, right Savior, and saying the right thing to get in, but they can't? Mm-hmm. And it won't take you long with a second hell to start calling out on the right God.
Yep.
Here's the sad part about it. You may think that hell is only separation from God, but you will see him in hell, and that will be worse than being there, probably. Mm-hmm. Not that the torment's going to be light, mind you. Mm-hmm. The fire's real and the torments are real, but looking up at the God you rejected 24 hours a day while you on fire is going to be another thing. Mm-hmm. Lord. And what does he say back to him? I know you not. Mm-hmm. I know you not. See, I see who they called. He said, Lord, Lord, let us in, let us in. But you see what they committed in verse 26 and verse 27 says, when they shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Did you catch what they just did? He ain't talking about, you know, eating some pretzels and hanging out and eating some turkey there. He's talking about people that drank. And listen to this. I can prove it to you in the next verse. But ye shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. What kind of workers of iniquity is he talking about? He's talking about the lost kind. Why are they workers of iniquity? Because they rejected Christ and they done everything they wanted to do. They rejected him all their life, and when they died, he rejected them. There's no judgment at the end of your life whether you're going to heaven or hell. That happens here. That was on Calvary. You got to accept the free gift of salvation because if you turn it down, this is you right here, the workers of iniquity. And I noticed about something about that word iniquity, that ain't just sin. That's the inside. That's that inside capability you have that does sin, proud of sin, and will do it again and again and again and again. And listen, nobody ain't going to tell you what to do. Do you know I've had people say, you ain't going to tell me? I don't care what you preach on. You ain't tell me what to do. I don't care. Do what you want. My job ain't to make you live right and spy on you to find out if you do.
Yeah.
My job is to tell you, you know what your job is? Do something with it.
That's right.
I challenge you. Don't believe a word I'm telling you. Go home, look it up in your own Bible. Write down all the notes. Look and find out and see if it's right. If it's not, come back and let me know and I'll change if you can show it to me in the book. However, if you find out I'm right, don't come back and tell me at all. Just do right.
Amen.
I don't need the affirmation, by the way. It'd just make me full of pride and I'd be full of the devil then. Now, you think I'm preaching hard tonight, it'd be really bad next time. But listen, I think that what we got to get back to is we got to get away from that word iniquity and we got to get to the infilling of the Holy Ghost and let Him run our lives. Listen, there's our two choices. We're either running by iniquity or we're running by inspiration, one of the two. And that inspiration of the Word of God that the Spirit of God uses to help run our lives and correct our lives and use our lives for His glory, or are we going to run by iniquity where we're going to go out and commit every sin that a lost man can commit? You know what's funny? People says this is a dumb thing I say. I would never. You fill in the blank, you'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think you won't, because listen, I've had people tell me, I went to preach a funeral one time, I was supposed to be there and open up in prayer. Now, Drayton Baptist Church, down there in Drayton. I was going to open up prayer, stand aside, this old preacher's going to get up, 75 years old, going to get up and preach. He got up, fumbled through something, saying something, prayed about 2 or 3 seconds, and called me up to preach. You know why? He left his wife for another woman at that age. Don't say it won't happen to you. If that'll happen at 75, I hope it don't happen on y'all's age.
Yeah.
Hope you don't get caught in that pride that says, I won't. I'm telling you, listen. He said, well, I just can't see myself. You can't, but the devil's got visions for you.
Well,
and if they'll, listen, one man in this church fall the wrong way is going to take out 10 of you. And I might be in that 10, so please stand up for the Lord and stay put.
Amen.
I think that we got to get back to the fact we realize that God helps us and we'll follow Him. His identification is, won't be I know you not, you'll be His, and He'll help you out of a world of trouble like that. I'd like to lean, brother, on that verse over in Psalm 34 where it said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him.
Yeah.
I'd rather be the poor man than be this guy right here and this, the worker of iniquity over here. But we not only see literally that in His plan there's an invitation, He's got His identification where He identifies people, but we see their incarceration in verse 28, and here it is. Verse 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Where is that at? That's got to be hell, because that's the only place described like that where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And watch this. Watch this. When ye shall see, they're looking over somewhere else because these people, his name ain't with them. They're somewhere else. They can see them. When you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and you yourselves thrust out. I know we joke and laugh about all this stuff, but you ever heard that old song by Johnny Cash? He said, when I see that train of rolling in there, their big cigars and all that, worst part, them convicts tell me sitting there is being able to look out the window and see stuff. Now they put TVs in there to torture them with. They can't get out, but you watch this. Ain't that crazy? I can't believe you brought up Johnny Cash. You hang around, I'll bring up Bo Cephas if it comes to mind. I'd rather he get pictures took with him than some of y'all have had them pictures took with. Amen and amen. Amen. I'm telling you, if Ted Nugent would act right and keep his hair cut, I'd have him in here for revival next week. He can just tell us how to use handguns and hunt turkeys and stuff. We need to know how to do that. Turkey season is coming up, right? But listen, I see a lot of people make the same mistakes over and over where they don't think it'll be them. You reject Christ, it'll be you.
Right.
There have been way too many people in my lifetime said, I'll do it at the end of my life. They never made it. They didn't see the end coming when it was. Okay? I see another feature of following the Father down in verse 29. And that's the power of Jesus. Because he points out about that crowd. They're looking at these people. They got thrust out. They're incarcerated. But I see the power of Jesus because Christ gives us rest in verse 29. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. When I say Christ gives you rest, I mean that.
Amen.
I love it.
Amen.
Before I got saved, I was afraid of the dark. Can you believe that? And it had to be nothing there. It just had to be dark. I was scared to death. And if I could have fit under the bed, I'd probably slept under there half the time. I'd hear something creak in the house in the middle of the night. Eyes wide open. It's dark in there, you know. I got saved, and now I don't even need a flashlight, but for years I really didn't until I stubbed my toe one good time, and I started having kids and stepped on Legos. If there's anything more pain, that's got to be how you women feel when y'all have children, like when a man steps on a Lego in the middle of the night, ain't expecting it, ain't it? I mean, it's got to be something like that. But I noticed that when you have these kind of things happen, now in the middle of the night, I wake up, you know what I want it to be? I want it to be dark. I cut everything out. I woke up one night and there's a pair of red eyes staring at me across the room. Reached over, and I couldn't get far enough in my gun without falling in bed, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to walk over and see what it was. Now, you got to keep in mind, I've been wearing glasses for a number of years. It was Lisa's alarm clock got turned right toward me where I could see them little colon eyes on that thing. That's what that thing was. I wasn't aware that she had bought one with red eyes on it, but there it stood. It said 2 o'clock. And I said, okay, that's what I thought it was going at me, you know. But nowadays, I have to have a light on so I don't trip and break my fool neck going in the middle of the night. But I'm not scared to be there anymore. You know why? April 7th, 1994, I got rest.
Amen.
That's the first night of sleep I ever had, I believe, in my life. Where I really got some rest was that night. I ain't regretted a day of it since.
Amen.
And I hadn't regretted the night either.
Yep.
God's been good.
Amen.
But Christ also not only gives rest in His power, but He also gives rewards. He says in verse 30, "Behold, they are last which shall be first, and they are first which shall be last." I got to thinking about how his rewards work out, and I'm going to give you 5 of them that you'll see that it don't look like much on this side of the grave, but over there it's going to look real good. Number one, you may leave here in last place, but over there you're going to arrive in first place. That's number one. Number two, you may leave here in a shack, but you're going to arrive there in a mansion. Some of you women's already worried about keeping that place clean. There's no dust there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. No dirty clothes in heaven. Ain't you glad of that? I would be. If I knew how to fold clothes, I'd shout on that if I was you. If you've ever used a washboard, you ought to shout like a holiness or something fixing to have a fit. Number three, you may leave here in rags, but you're going to arrive over yonder in a robe. Washed whiter than snow by the blood of Jesus. You may leave here in poverty, but you're going to arrive there in riches. That's a good thing to know right there. Number five, and this is my favorite one. You may leave here in an accident, but you're going to arrive over there in an appointment.
That's right.
You ain't going to surprise heaven when you show up getting there, honey. You know why? They're going to already know you's coming because it was wrote down before you got there.
That's right.
You say, explain that. I can't, but I sure like it. I like the fact that no matter how I leave, I'm getting there right on time.
Yeah.
Do y'all like the construction on the interstate out there now? Y'all ain't going to believe this, but I had to have my teeth cleaned the other day. I know you're waiting for the punchline. I ain't really got no teeth. I got 2 little things right here. But every year they want me to come over so I can clean them. It takes me longer to pay them than it does that woman to do all that. I thought I'd take I-85 and enjoy my trip down. And when we got up there just a little bit later, there was nothing there. There was no broken taillights, bumpers, marks in the road, ambulances, fire trucks, anything. And I thought, did somebody just stop in the middle of the road and go, yes, they do it all the time. And when I got there, the phone rung right as I started walking in. It was them calling. Are you okay? I said, look up. They looked up. I was standing there looking at them. We was worried about you. You're never late. I said, I'm glad I got such a testimony. I said, but that probably helped me from being mad now that you made me laugh like that. And it really did. It helped me out. I was mad because for no odd reason other than the fact that people just stop in the middle of the road on a road that you're supposed to be driving, what, 75 miles, I just stop. I had a tire blow out on me one time, and I thought, I'm going to die because I was already in that left lane. The left front tire blew out. I looked behind me. This car's coming. You know what I did? The only safe thing to do, whoop! As fast as I could. And you talking about praying. Lord Jesus, don't let them hit me now. And here come a DOT guy come up behind me and threw a big rubber thing up on there and jacked that thing up. Said, you got a spare? I said, no. But that was the other thing I started praying. Lord, if you let one of them deacons be on the other end of that phone, I'd sure appreciate it right now. God's good. One of you was. But the funny part of this is this. When you go in there with an appointment and you're late, that always makes me feel bad. I hate being late. But when I get there, no matter if I arrive at 55, 65, 75, 85, or 95, or 105, I'm going to walk in the door and they say, you got here right on time. I say, Lord, you don't think I'm a little early at 105? He'll say, nope, you're right on time. I said, what are you talking about, Lord? He's going to show you a book in there. You're going to walk over to that book. And that book's going to have your name in it.
Yeah.
It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And get this. It's going to have your arrival time there before you ever get there. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to say, thank God my name was written in that book. And you're going to look back at the body of your life. All them times you should have died. He had it well under control. If you can get in on that on this side of the grave and have that kind of faith and believe God's got you taken care of, you'll have a lot more rest than you would have had otherwise.
Yeah.
Have you ever been so sick you thought you was going to die? I remember sitting in Dr. Moss's office in the ninth grade. I thought I had a lung collapse. It was pneumonia. I'd never had a lung collapse. I don't know what it felt like, but it hurt real bad. He said, let me check you out here. Next thing I know, I was looking up. I fell back on the bed, and obviously 10 minutes had passed. I had passed out on the man with a fever. He was writing on his clipboard. I said, what's going on? He said, this is your minutes, papers of the hospital. I said, no, we can't go there. I was 14 years old, man. That rest of life had me. And for the next 3 days, I was in and out. I couldn't stay awake. I'd try to wake up, but you know what's scary? I'd wake up and my preacher would be there. Dear Lord Jesus, please help him, God. Oh, God, help him, you know, and all this other stuff. I thought, we must be at the funeral home by now. Because that fever makes you delusional and everything else. And I finally got out of that mess and thought, boy, I almost bought it right there. Years later, old Dr. Barnhill, he tells me I got something, pneumonia or something, and Justin had it, Jenna had it, and I think this was 2016 or somewhere in there. He said, do you want to go to the hospital or go home? I thought, dear Lord, he's giving me up for dead. I said, I want to go home and die. He said, well, here, try to take these big old pills. They're about this big. He said, take two of these a day, and you may not die. You know how positive he is. You may not die. And I said, well, I'll try that. I sat at the house one time, y'all was down here having church, and I was so mad at y'all, you don't know. I thought, there they are out there, and that big cigars and all that out there, and here I am sitting here incarcerated in this house, and my poor little handicapped children over here. Everybody's having fun with me. You ever been there? It's a whole lot worse than I'm making it. But you know what? I got out of that one, too. You ever wash dishes and cut your hand? I don't like real glasses in my house anymore ever since then. I was living on Oakstone Road. I busted a glass and didn't know it reached down in there. I saw the water thing start filling up. I thought, Somebody dropped one of them Kool-Aid packets in here. Sure as a world. Which one of the youngins did that? It wasn't Kool-Aid. I had to wrap my hand up, put super glue in it because I was too cheap to go to the doctor. Don't do that, by the way. That's real stupid. I didn't know, but I was just mad. And I wrapped that thing up, got down the road, and I'd run right into the wreck. I saw the wreck that would happen if I'd been there. I said, Lord, I sure dodged that one. I wasn't dodging nothing. He had his hand on me. I'm telling you, God's good. And you're going to get there and see that date wrote down and know that you got there right on time. Let me ask you a question as we close. Are you following Jesus? If you're following Him, you're following the Father. Where you see the Father work, there's where you go work at. He's trying to get these people to see there's better things to do with your life than wasting it and going to hell at the end of it.
Amen.
Just follow Jesus Christ. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father.